This is VOA News. I'm Tommy McNeil. AP correspondent Joe Fetterman reports that Israeli forces freed a living captive from Hamas's vast tunnel network for the first time since the October 7th attack.
The army isn't saying much about this operation. It only says that the 52-year-old man was found in a tunnel in southern Gaza in what it says was a very complicated operation. The man has been identified as Kaid Farhan Al-Qadi. He is a member of Israel's Bedouin Arab minority, and he was working as a security guard last October 7th when he was abducted with roughly 250 other people. Al-Qadi is the eighth hostage to be rescued by Israeli forces, but Israel says that over 100 others remain in captivity. It estimates that at least a third of them have died, and it fears that that number could continue to rise.
U.S. President Joe Biden's top Middle East advisor on Tuesday held talks in Doha with senior Qatari leaders on the ongoing efforts to complete a ceasefire and a hostage deal between Israel and Hamas. That's according to the White House. The White House senior advisor Brett McGurk's talks with the prime minister and foreign minister comes after the prime minister's Monday visit to Tehran. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said Tuesday that his military deployed Western-supplied F-16 fighter jets to great effect, downing drones and missiles that Russia fired in recent weeks. VOA's Jeff Custer with more.
Zelensky had announced earlier this month that Ukraine had received the first batch of the fighter jets promised by Western countries. And speaking at a news conference in Kyiv Tuesday, he said they're working well and he'd like more.
Nobody talked about it, but we destroyed already in this huge attack of Russians. We destroyed already some missiles and drones using F-16. I will not share how many, but we did it thanks to partners that they gave us F-16s, provided to us. But again, it's not enough.
Jeff Custer, VOA News.
This is VOA News. Reuters correspondent Freddie Joyner reports that special counsel Jack Smith has filed a new indictment in Donald Trump's January 6 case following last month's Supreme Court immunity ruling.
The new indictment was obtained by U.S. Special Counsel Jack Smith's team after narrowing their approach to the election subversion case, following a U.S. Supreme Court ruling that former presidents have broad immunity from criminal prosecution. The revised indictment lays out the same four charges it brought against Trump last year, but it focuses on his role as a political candidate seeking re-election, rather than as the president at the time. The new reworked indictment no longer includes allegations that Trump sought to pressure the U.S. Justice Department in his bid to overturn the election. Dropping those allegations appeared to be an effort to keep the prosecution alive after the Supreme Court found on July 1st that Trump could not be prosecuted for that conduct.
That's Reuters correspondent Freddie Joyner reporting. United Nations agencies warn refugees and displaced communities in the Democratic Republic of Congo and other African countries with Mpox outbreaks are at particular risk of illness and death because of their living conditions. Alicia Slime reports for VOA.
The World Health Organization reports at least 42 suspected cases of Mpox have been identified within the displaced population in Democratic Republic of Congo's South Kivu province, one of the regions hardest hit by the disease. Confirmed and suspected cases of the new clade 1B strain also have been recorded among refugee populations in the Republic of the Congo and Rwanda. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Mexico's president says that he has put relations with the United States and Canadian embassies on pause after the two countries voiced concerns over a proposed controversial judicial overhaul. President Andrés Manuel López Obrador did not elaborate on what the pause would mean. Last Thursday, U.S. Ambassador Ken Salazar called the proposal a risk to democracy that would endanger Mexico's commercial relationship with the United States, angering the Mexican president. Salazar has since dialed back this tone. Thousands of young Haitians are jumping at the chance to become soldiers, as widespread gang violence creates rare job opportunities in a deeply impoverished country where work is scarce. Now, brushing aside the possibility you could be kidnapped or tortured or killed, Haiti's youngest generation is answering the call of a government seeking to rebuild a once-reviled military. I'm Tommy McNeil, VOA News.